Blog Talk Radio.
People, today is Thursday, June the 15th, 2017. As you have figured out by now, I am not Wade Keller. I am PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil, filling in for Wade today on the PW Torch Livecast Interview Thursday, where we welcome a lot of important people from the world of professional wrestling to the program. Still the same deal. We'll be taking your calls. The number is 515-605-9345. Or if that's not good enough, you can contact us via email, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Or if that doesn't work for you, hey, you can contact us. You can contact me on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil, MCNEILL. Or you can just wait on hold. But right now, let's welcome to the program the legendary former World Tag Team Champion, former multi-time Cruiserweight Champion, and one of the big stars of Impact Wrestling, ladies and gentlemen, Hurricane Helms. Hurricane, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Every time I do this show, it's with you, right? I'm pretty sure every time I've done I think Wade Keller fears the Hurricane. Well, That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm putting out there. I'm putting that out there right now.
You know what? I think that's entirely possible. That makes more sense than anything else. Hurricane, first of all, a lot going on right now with him. Well, I can't, but I can't imagine that. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, because you're a likable guy.
Clearly, you never spent a lot of time with me. I'm pretty likable. I have my moments.
Well, I spent time with you about an hour at a time, or an hour and a half at a time, depending on what we're doing. Okay, I just want to remind everybody, again, 515-605-9345, and while I don't have, I didn't get to install the most of the soundboard in here, I can remind you people that you can ask up to three questions, you can make up to three comments, but please, for the purposes of our show today, in order to keep things moving along, thank you. And this show is
while
PG
we're
by
for our
orders
next
of Wade Keller.
We'd like to remind you folks calling in to keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
And before somebody calls in and says that you Dunlop, you old fart, why don't you retire? Hurricane, let's start by talking about tonight, actually. This is the second week of the Impact Wrestling tapings in Mumbai, India. It's not clear from what I read. I know Trevor Lee is there, and he's wrestling tonight, I think. But did you end up making the trip?
No, I didn't go. I think, you know, it was more of a budget thing. They were trying to keep the roster pretty pretty tight. And so, so it's fine. I've been there before. You know, if some other talent could get the experience of India, you know, it was cool. You know, I took the big bumps off of the Ultimate X, so I think that's the idea that just, you know, that's why I wasn't there kind of thing. You know, it's one of those things, a business decision, nothing really to do with me, per se. I don't guess. I don't know. Maybe they don't like me either.
I doubt that. You're an important but I can't tell what's happening. It is losing the Exhibition title against his own Sanjay Dutt, and there is a Sony 6 X Division Invitational, which features Braxton Sutter, Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, Matt Sydal, Suicide, and Trevor Lee. So that should be a lot of fun, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean those guys right there
that
can really go.
That if you are a fan of the Hurricane and you know how to download Fight TV,
is this connection good? Because we're talking over each other and you're breaking up really bad, and I can't really tell what's going on.
Okay, I'm going to try. Let me go ahead and try closing some things here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's like there's a delay.
That's not promising. Okay, well, Well, we will make do the best we can. If not, we'll just switch. I'll just switch during the break and use something else instead of this microphone. Also, I wanted to point out to our great viewers that if you're on Fight TV, the monthly TNA pay-per-view is up now. It's called No Surrender. And if you want to see the Hurricane in action, so to speak, one of the matches on that show is Trevor Lee taking on Suicide with the Hurricane in Trevor Lee's corner. So those of you looking to get your Hurricane fix can definitely do that. You remember that, right? That's happening?
Okay. Yeah, sure. I didn't know that was
tell
a
you
question.
What,
watch that.
Yeah. Tell you what, why don't we take a break here? And during the break, I will attempt to use another method of I'll attempt to get the microphone working, and we will be right back in just a moment with your phone calls. I know people are waiting, with your emails, with your chat room texts, and all that good stuff right here on the PW Torch Livecast.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
And welcome back on pwtorch.com, pwtorchlivecast.com. I am Pat McNeil, joined this afternoon by our special guest, Shane Helms, Gregory Shane Helms, Hurricane Helms, whatever you want to call him. I just want to make sure that he's hearing me better. Hurricane, is that any better?
Yeah, it's a little bit better, man.
Okay, I appreciate it. We are going to go to the telephones and kick things off. If you have questions for the Hurricane, and I know I have a few, the number is 515-605-9345. Let's see who we have to kick things off. What a surprise. It is Kylan from Newark, New Jersey. Kylan, you're on the live cast with Hurricane Helms. Go ahead.
Nice to be back with you again, Shane. My first question for you, sir, is during the last few weeks of Impact under the previous ownership, as well as the first 3 to 4 weeks of Impact under Anthem ownership, you participated in an angle with Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett. Were or are there still any plans for you to get back into the ring with Andrew Everett as a result of your participation in finishes during his matches during this time?
Okay.
Creatively, I guess we'll have to see. You know, I mean, I was brought in Impact as an agent, and so I don't really have a talent contract with them. Everything that we've done as far as me being in the ring is just kind of a, you know, an addition to my agenting contract. I mean, I still wrestle all over the world, so that's kind of they've wanted to. They keep they've, you know, suggested a couple things, but, you know, it's needed something that we have to meet in the middle on, and something we both have to agree on. You know, I'm kind of at a point in my career where I don't just do anything that's told to me. You know, if it's something that I don't think is good, then I'm not going to do it. And I mean, there's nothing that they've suggested that was outlandish. And this goes back to the old regime. Nothing with the new guys has been, you know, really thrown out there too much. So if it's something cool, you know, then I'm open for it. You know, people that see me wrestle, they know that I can still go. I still rock and roll like always. So it's kind of just up to what they want to do. I mean, I like doing the managerial thing. I think we had a new take on it, you know, not just the cowardly manager that gets beat up all the time, but a young guy that's in there that can still bump, you know, and still do things. And I wanted to be a manager that actually, you know, because of the X Division style, sometimes it's really hard to hate those guys. You know, no matter what they say on the microphone, what they do in the ring is so impressive that it's hard to really hate them. So what I'm doing, what I go out there and try to do is I get the heat. So at least there's somebody out there to really hate. You know, because no matter what, you're not, the crowd isn't going to universally hate any of those guys. And I'm not talking about just Trevor. I'm talking about any of them. They're so good with what they do. Athletically, what they do is so impressive. It's going to be hard to hate them. So that's where I'll come in. And so that's what I've been trying to do. And it works. You know, I get people really hate me. You know, some of them come at me on, they try to come at me, I should say, on Twitter, not understanding that that's what I'm wanting them to do. But I'm having fun with it. So, you know, I'm kind of open. I'm down for anything. But I like doing new stuff. I like testing the waters and see how far I can push things.
Okay. What's next, Colin?
My second question for you. Although you're seemingly happy in Impact Wrestling now, since your good friends, the Hardys, have gone back there, do you ever see yourself having another, at least partial, WWE run at some point?
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. You know, I never went out of touch with WWE at all. You know, I left on good terms. I've filmed some stuff with them since I left, you know, for the network, a couple of different specials. If you pay attention to my Twitter timeline and their website, you'll see that they feature me still every now and then about different things. So I got a good relationship with them. That relationship has never been bad. And I mean, it has nothing to do with whether Matt and Jeff are there or not, you know. I know we're all tied together because we're friends, but we still all kind of do our own things. And just, I mean, sometimes it kind of appears that we gravitate. But, you know, I mean, I think that's pretty common in the industry, you know. Whenever you got people that speak up for you, and that's how a lot of times, you know, when opportunities arise, people speak up. You know, if I got a chance to endorse Matt and Jeff for something, of course I would do it. You know, I would do that for anybody. Actually, I've done it for people my entire career, and sometimes not even just for friends. You know, there's been several times with Impact where they were like, we need a guy to do this. And there I was with a number to bring a guy in to do that. You know, I do that all the time. And of course, you know, if you're my buddy, I think that's everybody. Of course, you're my buddy. You might be at the top of my list as far as people that are on my mind. But then again, I've totally, you know, put out total strangers and say, look, I don't really know this guy, but I think he's talented. Here's his number. Here's what he looks like if you need him. Stuff like that. I do that all the time. But, I mean, to the question, I mean, there's always a possibility to work with WWE again. You know, when they're in town, I'll go visit them and see the guys and stuff like that. Still got a lot of friends there.
Okay, let me ask you this, Hurricane. You know, Matt and Jeff left Impact Wrestling when the new regime came in, and let's be honest, it's been on bad terms. I mean, your friends, you know people on both sides. Has it been a little awkward for you dealing with that?
Yep. Very, very, okay. Very awkward. That is what it is when you're somebody that's in the middle. You know, that's kind of the negative to being friends with everybody. You know, I'm one of those guys that kind of is friends with everybody. And sometimes when people, have differences of agreement or animosity or whatever, you kind of like you just said, you're in the middle. So there's some weirdness there, and there's a, but I kind of just try to stay out of it. One thing I've always done with my friends is I never get in their business. You know, I never, in terms of contracts, money being made, that stuff I just don't talk about. I don't think it helps a friendship to know these things. So some of the details about the contracts or whatever, you know, the disagreements was, I honestly didn't know them. And I think there were people on a certain side that thought I did, and I didn't, because – you know, I don't think that helps a friendship. You know, nobody needs to know what I make. I don't need to know what nobody else makes. You know, that's kind of one thing, no matter who I was riding with, whether it was Christian, whether it was Jericho, whether it was Matt and Jeff, Lance Storm, you can ask all of them. I never asked them about their money, never talked about it because it wasn't my business, and I stay out of that. So I wasn't involved, and I really don't know all the particulars about what went on. I just know that they didn't agree about things and they left. And that happens in business all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, I wish this whole thing would just kind of go away. I don't see what the end game is. I don't see that the end game is beneficial enough to, you know, to have to deal with all the negative stuff that is out there, in the public eye. I don't see a win-win for that. So I don't know. I kind of wish it would go away because, like I said, I got friends on both sides, and it's annoying to me. I find it annoying.
Right. Okay. Third question, Kylan.
And final question for you, Shane. With the independent wrestling scene experiencing a new level of a boom period recently, do you foresee major promotions experiencing the same level of boom period in the near future?
I mean, that would be nice, of course. That'd be nice for the business for another boom to pop in. But that also might be why the major promotions in a ratings terms are kind of going down a little bit, because all the excitement, it seems, has kind of drifted a little bit to that independent scene. You know, that's where most of the talk that I see, most of the chatter I see on my timelines, on the various timelines that I read, and just what I hear people talking about. You know, the independent scene is kind of the Wild West. There's a lot of negative stuff out there, but there's a lot of really, really good stuff going on, and a lot of fans are excited about a lot of stuff that they don't get to see elsewhere. And some of that stuff really just doesn't translate to TV, and it quite possibly might not ever will. And so I don't know how that can affect the bigger promotions or what we would consider the TV promotions. Who knows, you know. It's one thing to go to a town every few months and be able to pop a crowd. It's a lot different to do that every single week on a televised program that's supposed to be moving forward episodically. Massively different, and a lot of people do not see that. They don't understand that, because they see a company come to their town once every 6 months. It's a really good show. Yeah, that's a lot easier to do than to do it every single week. It's two entirely different worlds.
Yes, it is. Okay, Kylan, listen, thank you very much. Call in Sunday after the pay-per-view. We'll be here.
I will do that, Pat.
Okay, thank you, Kylan. That opens up a line for you, 515-605-9345. When I say we'll be here, it'll be myself and Johnny Fairplay sitting in for Greg Parks, and possibly Greg Parks himself, immediately following Money in the Bank right here on this PW Torch livecast station, pwtorchlivecast.com. We'll discuss, we might discuss money ladder matches here in just a moment. I know Cody from Thibodeau is waiting on the line, but we do have an email question. It is from John from Seattle that I want to get to. John asks, when you were Hurricane Helms, is there anything you didn't get to do in WWE that you would have loved to do with that character? Hurricane, other than wrestle Kurt Angle in the main event of WrestleMania, is there anything that you didn't get to do in WWE that you would have loved to do with that character?
I don't know. I kind of ran the gambit with that character. You know, I did a lot. Way more than I think anybody ever thought was going to be done with a superhero character.
That's true.
I think right now, it kind of preceded the boom, the Hollywood boom.
Yeah.
You know, so I think if I could have peaked right around the time that Hollywood boom, as far as the superhero movies did, it would have been even better for me. But as far as anything specifically, no. You know, I mean, the Hurricane character might not have ever main evented WrestleMania. You know, Gregory Helms could have had a shot, because that's the type of wrestler character that would fit in that spot. The Hurricane, we know, is a comic relief character. I knew what I was doing. I had to wrestle a lot differently than I did as Gregory Helms or as Sugar Shane Helms to make the character work. And I know a lot of people don't understand that. You know, I've explained it a million times, but some people just never will. They won't get it, so that's fine. I don't want to go into that again. But I mean, I had a blast as that character. You know, I'm pretty sure I might could have worn another belt here and there or something. But you know, I'm extremely satisfied with what I did with that character. You know, I mean, it has to go down as one of the most popular gimmicks of all time. You know, if you want to talk about masked wrestlers in America, I got to be at the top of that list. You know, especially in recent memory. I did my thing in terms of what was available to me, so I loved it.
Yes, I understand that. Well, that Rey Mysterio guy also, he's pretty good too, as masked wrestlers go. But you're up there.
He's not bad. Would we consider him American or Mexican?
Oh well, I thought it was. Well, I mean, they always announce him as being from San Diego, so. Yeah.
I know he is now, but I mean, I think he would be considered more of the luchador guy.
Okay, that's fair.
But if you want to ask me who's the greatest cruiserweight of all time, it would be that young Rey Mysterio.
Okay, that seems reasonable. John's second question is interesting. You, Hurricane, are the former multi-time cruiserweight champion. He wants to know, he says, what do you think about 205 Live? I absolutely love it, but it doesn't seem to be catching on with the whole audience, especially the live audience.
Well, I think a lot of that is how it's filmed, when it's filmed. You know, if they've seen a lot of stuff and then you got a lot of newer, younger guys, the energy's just not going to be there. It doesn't matter what they do. You know, and some of these guys just need to get time to build. But because they got so many young guys, if they kind of all get bit, if they all are built properly, I should say, and they all kind of pop at the same time, you know, 205 Live could be a really hot show in the future. It's like I said, it's still filmed after SmackDown, right? Or
yes, it is.
So, I mean, that's just a tough slot to go on after, you know.
I mean, I watched it Tuesday. I thought you know, Akira Tozawa and T.J. Perkins had a very good match, but you know, it's kind of hard when you're showing people, you know, leaving the building after SmackDown's over, and it's it's difficult to perform in that spot, and I think the guys who are there deserve credit for doing as well as they do.
Yeah, you know, I mean. I remember when in WCW when they started filming Thunder after Nitro, and like people were keep blocking out, and like, sometimes it'd be the same guys, so it's not even the guys' fault. You know, I know we look at it as like, oh, they might not like these guys, and maybe there is a portion of the audience that doesn't like those guys, but I think just it's fatigue, it's exhaustion. If I'm a parent and I got a kid, I got to get his ass out of there. You know, my kids don't even get to watch a lot of wrestling now because there's nothing for them on Saturday mornings, which to me is something that really needs to be addressed in terms of future audience, future fans. How do we get future fans? We're not getting them now. My kids are not going to stay up to 11 o'clock on Monday night on a school night watching Raw. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to be up at 10 for the final of SmackDown. It's not going to happen. If you're a responsible parent and you got a young child, he's in bed at that time. And I don't want to be, you know, all high and mighty saying these parents are irresponsible. I was in bed. Yeah, you know, I mean, 9 o'clock is the max for my kids to be up. They got to, you know, school. School's more important. So a lot of that, too, is, you know, like I say, go back to 205, is, you know, people are getting out of there, getting their kids out of there, getting themselves out of there. How many hours can you sit and watch, you know, a wrestling show? I mean, you got a couple, you know, once you get on that third and fourth hour, you know, that's a lot. That's a long event to be sitting on your ass, you know, especially when you can be in the comfort of your own home. So there's a lot to be done there. They need more superstars, and that just takes time to build. You know, they got a lot of really great guys and a lot of potential there, the incredible potential, you know, athletically. The business is at a higher level than it's ever been, and it's only going to get better. So they just need those personalities to break out, because I was one of them. You know, he's a great personality. You know, I've talked before about how great I think Cedric Alexander is. You know, I tried to get Austin Aries hired there when I was there. He's always been good, you know.
Yes.
He's really a standout, not only performer, but also personality. You know, a Swan, you know, Rich Swan's got a great charisma, great personality. So, you know, the elements are there. The elements are definitely there. It just, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't have a solution for the time slot, or not necessarily time slot, but filming slot when they film it. You know, I don't have a solution for that. That's on them. But the talent's there. You know, it's just it needs to be filmed in a different environment, maybe.
And, right.
You know, maybe, I mean, if they could maybe do a half hour before, well, not before Raw, because Raw's already 3 hours, but Raw needs to be 2 hours anyway. They need to film a half hour of 205
that's
before
true.
That.
That
film
is.
Film the other hour before SmackDown, and then go with that.
Oh, that's very true. That's the one thing I agree with Vince Russo about, is that you need a 2 hour show instead of a 3 hour show. Yeah, Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not knocking it, but I know people are going to hear this and say it because when I'm at Impact, no. I just say there's a reason movies in general are 2 hours. You know, that's the perfect window for the attention span when you start to get, okay. You know, especially these days when you got so many options. You got your iPad in your right hand. You got your phone in your left hand. You know, there's so many things to distract you. Just sitting there staring at a screen for 3 hours is a daunting task. It's an oversaturation. It just creates viewer fatigue for me, you know, into that third hour. And if it's a movie, it better be good. And I can only do those 3 hour movies every now and then, and it better be really damn good, you know, but it's tough, you know. I like the 2 hour slot. I like the 2 hour time slot that Impact has. I think that 2 hours is perfect. You know, that's why SmackDown has a much better flow than Raw. Raw is always going to be the flagship, but SmackDown is the better show.
That's, in terms of flow, that is definitely true. Okay, we are going to take a short time out. I know we have Cody from Thibodeau on hold. We also need you on hold at 515-605-9345. Back after this.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
And the PW Torch Livecast is back here. This is pwtorchlivecast.com, the Interview Thursday edition. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil sitting in for Wade Keller today. Number is 515-605-9345. If you're listening, don't forget tomorrow night is Primetime Friday. Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan will be getting you ready for your wrestling weekend, and it just seems that there's something happening in wrestling every weekend these days. I am here with Hurricane Helms, agent and manager over at Impact Wrestling, and legendary performer for WCW and the WWE. 515-605-9345. Hurricane is ready. I'm ready. We're going to go to the phones. Cody from Thibodeau, Louisiana, you're on the live cast with Hurricane Helms. Hello.
What's up, Pat and Shane? How y'all doing?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. I had a couple of questions, but first I just wanted to say, Shane, I was a really big fan of yours back in the day. You were one of my favorites growing up, especially like your Hurricane gimmick, and even watched you going all the way back to WCW with 3 Count, your feud with the Young Dragons. I just wanted you to know that I was a big fan of yours, and I just wanted to thank you for everything that you've done in the business and everything that you're still doing for the business.
No, thank you very much.
No problem. So I want to get these couple questions out because I know there's probably a lot of people on the line. But my first question was, what do you guys think of a potential Zack Ryder heel turn? Because I was watching a little bit of SmackDown the other day, and seeing as how they've been, I feel like they've been booking Mojo Rawley to be credible and believable babyface, and then all of a sudden Zack Ryder just happens to show up back on the scene. Do you guys think that would be a good thing to help build up Mojo and to help bring Zack Ryder back to relevance? And also, Shane, I know you're an avid boxing fan, so I wanted to get your thoughts on the McGregor and Mayweather boxing match now that it's been made official.
Okay, let's start with that. Let's take that first one. Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder.
Yeah, I could see that being a good story. You know, I'm a big fan of Zack. And being a heel might actually help. You know, one of the things that, you know, if I had to nitpick something about Zack Ryder is that he smiles too much. You know, it's one of these things that that I think creative misses when they make a baby face, especially one that's over. And Zack Ryder, without a doubt, especially at one time, got over on his own merit, on his own accord, got over his hell. And then they would just beat him to death, and he's supposed to just keep coming out smiling. And I'm always like, what the hell is he so happy about? You know, because I've been there. I've been that baby face that got over, and creative gets lazy, and they go, well, he's over, so let's use him to get other people over. And I understand how the back and forth works. Obviously, I've been in business a long time. But you can't beat a baby face to death without it having some kind of effect on him. number one, it has effect on him from a business standpoint, because then you lose the audience, lose faith in you. They stop buying your merch. Now, not only are you getting hurt, the company's getting hurt. So there's that. But also, like, for my character personality, if you're out there getting your ass whooped every week, why are you so happy coming out there? It makes no sense. You know, so I would like to see Ryder get an edge. I would like to see him get pissed off, go out there and start whooping somebody's ass. And I think that could actually help. But I see that on a lot of baby faces. Not saying he's the only one. I see it from a lot. I see it on some of our guys in Impact that never get a win, but they come out and it's like, and I hear guys in the back, yeah, you got to go out there and be happy, get some energy. And I'm thinking, what the hell is he happy about? He gets his ass whooped every week. You would not be happy about that, you know. And I think this is guys that never really competed in anything that are saying that to them, because, you know, I was an amateur for 7 years. I know what it's like if you drop a few in a row. You have an attitude. And that's only like, you know, I mean, I never went on like no big losing streak or anything as an amateur competitor. But if I lost one or two in a row, I was upset. And the next guy's going to get his ass whooped. Or I'm a, you know, at least I'm going to be upset while I'm trying to whoop his ass. You know, he might whoop my ass too. You know, so I would definitely like to see Zack Ryder get in there. Could help him, help whatever they're doing with Mojo, and, you know, get Zack Ryder and get him where he needs to be, which will help the company. So there's that. As for the Mayweather-McGregor thing, I'm very excited. Not as much for the actual fight, but as for the build-up and the epic promos that I think we're going to see leading into it. You know, so two of the best trash talkers ever. But the McGregor actually delivers in his fights. His fights are usually exciting, whereas Mayweather hasn't had an exciting fight in ages. That's my only knock against Mayweather. He talks a great game. He does what he needs to do to win. Doesn't do much more than that. And his fights are generally boring as shit. But this one could it's going to capture the attention of a lot of people, and a lot of people are already excited for it. It's going to do great numbers. It's going to do a lot of big business. And so I'm excited just for the environment it's going to create with the different people, you know, all the people coming together to watch something. When you get a lot of group of people watching something at the same time, there's this weird unity with people. And we need some unity right now, in not only the country, but in the world. So I'm really excited about it going forward.
Yeah, I will tell you from this morning, just catching a glimpse of what's going on in SportsCenter, the happiest people in the world right now about this fight are the ESPN people, because basketball season's over, hockey season's over. Hallelujah, there's a big crazy fight that we can talk about. And they were pulling out graphics on Inoki and Muhammad Ali and on, you know, Rocky Balboa and Thunderlips, and the, you know, that it just it gave them something to talk about, and I expect that'll be the case for the 2 months leading up to the fight. Okay, anything else, Cody?
No, that was pretty much it. It was good to talk to you guys today, and can't wait to look forward to hearing from you, Shane, on Keeping It 100.
All right.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
Yes, thank you, Cody. Anyway, I have to be a fan of that show because they've actually had me on, believe it or not. So Shane will be great. The Hurricane will be great on there. 515-605-9345. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio, where VIP member Chris from Cincinnati is standing by. Chris, you're on the live cast with me and Hurricane Helms. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well.
Good. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Shane. My main question is, what do you think of Desmond Xavier, and what do you think his ceiling could be in TNA? I've seen you guys sign him. I've seen him recently on the show. I had a chance to see him live a bunch of times because I went to school up in Dayton. I think he's super talented, so I thought he was a great pickup for TNA. So I just wanted to know, like, what your thoughts on him are. Excuse me. And that's about it.
Okay. The exciting signing for you guys. Yes.
I think he has the best hairline that I've ever seen a human being have. That was actually like my first words that I said to him when we met. He came up, and he has the absolute most perfect hairline you could have. It looks like a G.I. Joe doll. Like, everything, the angles are perfect, you know, and I was like, man, I said, that is one great hairline you have.
Were you able to see him drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's, though?
I did not get to see that, so I have to put that on the bucket list of things I'll never do.
Excellent.
But yeah, I think athletically, Desmond's incredible. You know, there's a lot of upside to what he's capable of. He's still a young guy in the business in terms of experience, obviously. Just talked to Desmond yesterday, as a matter of fact, about you know, a couple of things, and that conversation, you know, private conversation between us. But there's a ton of upside. You know, I don't really like the glass ceiling metaphor. It's such a, you know, outdated thing. You know, things in this business happen sometimes, and there's a lot of great talents out there that it just never happened for. And it wasn't that they were held down. It wasn't this or that. Sometimes that does happen, no doubt, but sometimes it just does or doesn't, you know. And that's life. That's just life, period. Discount that. Desmond has a tremendous upside. You know, he's not a gimmick like Hurricane. He's a wrestler. And sometimes those type of characters in wrestling take a little bit longer to get over, because we've seen a lot of wrestlers. So, you know, when you come out as, you know, when I come out dressed up like a superhero, I get your attention right away because they didn't see anything like me in a while. When you're a wrestler, it takes a little bit longer because now you got to impress people just with what you're entering. It won't take him long to impress anybody that sees him. It'll just take a little bit longer to kind of stand out in terms of personality and who you are. But tremendous upside. And it's funny, and when I talk about it, I'm talking about guys like, you know, a Bret Hart or Chris Benoit. Those guys were always good, but it just took a long time for them to actually pop. You know, I mean, once Bret Hart got that world title run, it wasn't like he was just magically better than he was for the previous 10, 15 years. He was always great. You know, I mean, if you look 10 years before he got his big push, he was solid, great, just as good. But just a wrestling, what's considered a wrestling gimmick, takes a little bit longer to get over. So we got to find out if Desmond can talk. Can he get on the microphone and talk and get the crowd behind him? There's energy there. There's charisma there. Great look, great talent. So there's nothing holding him back right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chris?
That's pretty much it. I want to say, yeah, he's got that hairline working for him. I will concur with you there. That's the crispest thing I've ever seen. But that's all I got for you guys today.
All right. We appreciate it. And thank you for being a PW Torch VIP.
Thanks.
No problem. Chris drops off. That opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. Tell you what, we are up against a hard break. When we come back, more of your questions for Hurricane Helms, and we'll talk some more about what's coming up at Slammiversary. And other questions about Impact Wrestling, big tour here, a couple more weeks in Mumbai, India. This is the PW Torch Livecast. Don't you go anywhere.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
Okay, we're back on PWTorchLivecast.com. I'm Pat McNeil, filling in for Wade Keller. We are here with Hurricane Helms, big star of TNA Impact Wrestling and an agent over at Impact Wrestling. The number is 515-605-9345. We are talking about a number of different wrestling topics that we want to hear from you. I want to take an email question that we have. This is from Kenny. I'm guessing he's from North Carolina. He says, first of all, hi, Pat and Hurricane, love the show. I want to get your thoughts on the vibrant indie scene in the Mid-Atlantic region. CWF is truly the reincarnation of Jim Crockett Promotions in terms of providing their fan base strong wrestling matches and great stories to tell. My question is, with Impact always looking for new talent, do you see a developmental deal with them as a way to possibly add new blood to the roster? That's a decent question. First of all, do you know if Impact is looking to do developmental deals with anybody?
They're looking to work with every company out there. I don't know if an official developmental deal is necessary at this point.
Right.
So I don't know what that even means. I mean, the independent scene is the developmental territory. You know, that's I think that's the best developmental territory ever made is the independent scene. So, you know, we work with some of this. You know, I've worked with CWF guys forever. One of the main guys there was actually in the crowd in my very first match in 1991, 10,000 years ago. So, yeah, I've known those guys forever. We worked with them closely when I was, you know, running Omega on a more regular basis. Spot on with how great they are. A really storyline-driven company. I go down and hang out every now and then. I'll go and do a run-in on some of their shows every now and then. Really big fan of that company. You know, I think, Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett came out of there. They got a lot of good guys that have came out of there. You know, Caleb Conley works there a lot. They got White Mike, who's tearing up the independent scene right now. One of my woman's favorite tag team right now is the Ugly Ducklings. I don't know if you know them, Pat, but really great little gimmick those kids are doing. And, the indie scene. You know, one of the things I wanted to do in Omega when I brought them back was kind of get everybody to step up their game. You know, where we would do more of a event-type shows. You know, we would have the bigger crowds. And I wasn't trying to get anybody, I wasn't trying to run any little company out of business or anything like that, but I was, you know, I would call little companies out on the things they're doing wrong. You know, if you're putting out cheesy banners or you're putting out like cheesy advertisement and really generic stuff, you know, you're kind of making the whole independent scene look bad because all the independents are lumped together under that independent banner. But right. They're not all equal. Some are really good and some are absolute garbage. If the garbage ones couldn't get better, then yes, they should go away. Mm-hmm. But that definitely happened. You know, the whole independent. I'm not going to sit here and just like pat myself on the back like it's all my credit. But that was what I wanted to happen, and it is what happened.
Yeah.
You know, CWF was already really good. I think they've done like 500 shows as an independent company. I mean, that's just
which is huge.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be around 400, but I know at one time it was 300, and it could easily be at 500 at this point. I don't know. You got a group like AML down in that Winston-Salem area. Really good. Carino's got his group down at the coast. Really good. You got PWX, another company around the Charlotte area. Really good. So, and Omega, we still got plans to come back and do, you know, we do the event, so we'll come in every now and then and do a big show. So we're still on that scene. I got to get all my belts back from Matt, though. Matt's got all my damn belts, and I can't use them now. So I'm going to have to figure out what we're going to do about that.
You're going to have to meet him somewhere in space and time, yes.
Yeah, he put up a picture. He's got this big collection of belts on his trophy case, and the Omega belt's in there. I'm like, man, that's still... I paid for that belt. you got to give it back if you're not defending it. You can't just keep it. Bastard.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go over there. You know, am I going to have to go and get some more belts from Matt's house? Anyway, long story.
Right.
The independent scene is really good, really fun, you know, a lot, especially in North Carolina. A lot. Some of the greatest ever came out of North Carolina. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That's absolutely true. Getting back to what you're doing presently with Impact Wrestling, and there was a show last week, the first one from India, which it was a different atmosphere because there was a lot of fans there, obviously, who've never seen pro wrestling in person before, and that's always exciting. Does it help since Impact Wrestling and the ownership with Anthem, the promotion's more stable now? How much has that helped?
I haven't really noticed that big of a difference. You know, I mean, I was only there a short time before the new ownership. I haven't been there a really long time. I guess, what am I on, second year now? At the end of my second year? I don't even know. I can't remember when I got there.
But
I never
right.
had no problems with the other owners. So, I mean, I was kind of in a unique position. I heard some of the problems other people had, and I'm not discounting those problems, but me, Shane Helms, never had any problems. So it was kind of an easy transition for me. It was just one boss to the next one. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, just in terms of creative, we got a new creative team. And, you know, anytime a new team comes in, they kind of push other guys out of the way and they kind of scrap old ideas that were already in motion, which that just happens, you know. So we're kind of dealing with that. That's been the only thing that's been kind of weird. But it hasn't been a problem for me. You know, I can't speak for the entire locker room, but, I mean, everything seems okay. So.
Look, yeah,
I never had a late check. I never had a late check before. You know, that was always one of the jokes people threw around. I never did, so I get my travel, I get my check.
Yeah,
everything's cool with mine.
That is that's a very important thing there. I agree with that. I think probably from a standpoint of the fans, they're seeing they're seeing people who were part of Impact or TNA or whatever you want to call it being brought back, and that's and that should be exciting for them. Yeah, Angelina Love's back, and Low Key's back, what is it like having Scott Steiner back?
Oh, I've always loved Scott Steiner. So Scott saved my life. I've told that story a bunch of times. One time in a match, I was about to go over the top rope backwards onto the stairs from the top turnbuckle to the floor, to the stairs, and Scott saved me. So I like Scott Steiner. I've always had good matches with him. Only had a few, handful, but I worked well with him. He's always been cool to me as a person. Scott's got a dark sense of humor, and it might, some people either get it or they don't. But I like Scott. So anytime you can, I like the mix of, I know you always need newer stars, but there's a lot of guys that are out there that still have name value, that are still, and just not value like they're a piece of property, but they just have value as a person and as a talent to come out there and do stuff and be exciting. So, we don't really have to be handcuffed just to the roster we have. Talk about that independent scene. It's not just filled with a bunch of young guys. It's filled with a bunch of established talent that can still go. If you can still go, I don't care how old you are. If you can still perform, I don't care how long you've been working, how old you are. If you look good and you can still go, then, I think there's an opportunity for you.
Okay.
Or there should be.
Okay, we're still taking calls, 515-605-9345. I want to get to this email. It is Brian from Kenosha, Wisconsin, who writes, I won't be able to call in today, but I have a few questions for Hurricane. First, I want to know what it was like for you wrestling with a mask. Is it difficult to see or breathe inside a mask? Does it give you difficulties with your peripheral vision?
The one I wore in WWE for years did, before the heel turn. That one affected my vision. It wasn't never hard to breathe in because my mouth was open.
Right.
My mouth and nose were open. So breathing wasn't a difficulty. Sometimes that chin strap would bother my Adam's apple a little bit, but I got used to that pretty quickly. But, yes, the thicker leather one that I had, that's actually how that Hurricane walk developed, the kind of where I would crouch down a little bit and have that weird walk. That's how that developed, because I couldn't see down very well because the leather stuck out, and it wouldn't bother my peripheral on the sides, but down. Say, like, Pat, if you were standing right in front of me, face-to-face, close range, and you stuck your hand out to shake my hand, I wouldn't be able to see it with that mask on. So
yeah,
that's why
kind of,
I kind of would always
kind of a big
lean.
Deal there. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, so it was so I wrestled for years with that handicap, so I'm glad I didn't get hurt any more than I did with that. I think that's kind of why I actually stopped doing springboards and stuff, though, because I was having trouble seeing the rope with it. You know where it's supposed to be, but having it taken away from you from a vision standpoint would make springboards more difficult, so that's why I stopped doing those.
You're not like Daredevil where you're sensing where the ropes are and, just from the airflow and doing it that way.
Yeah, not at all. But the newer mask that I wear these days, it's a combination. It's a very expensive one, which is why I never have replicas at my gimmick table. My mask costs about $800 to make. It's a combination of latex and leather combined, and it's molded to fit my face. So it fits really good, and I can see perfectly in the one that I've been wearing when I came back after my heel turn, and the one I wear these days on the indie scene.
Okay, well, there's more questions from him. How did you deal with sweat under the mask?
It just dripped down. I'm not a sweater. I'm not a big, heavy sweater.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not Val Venus or Devon, the brother Devon, who are the two sweatiest human beings you've ever seen in your life. I'm the opposite of them. I kind of glisten. I don't do the real drip, drip, drip.
Okay, now we have the answer to a question which nobody asked. Who are the sweatiest people in wrestling? Good.
One time they were in a match and they did a shoulder tackle spot when nobody went down, and they just showered the whole front row on all three sides and everybody that was in the tag match with their own sweat.
And referee Mike Chioda nearly drowned. Yes, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they are incredibly profusely sweaters.
Okay. Let's see. Well, he's got a lot of mask questions. How do you keep your mask stable and secured on your face during your matches?
It's molded to fit my face.
Well, okay. What about the that's true. What about the older one?
There were straps in the back. You strap it on.
What?
The Velcro, like I had that ring. I don't know if anybody had did that before me, but I put there was a ring in the back. It was kind of like how Vader's mask was,
but we
put a ring in the back and we put Velcro straps through that ring, and I could tighten it up. And so just that was the adjustment.
All right, good deal. Let's see. So now wrestling with the mask, with your current mask, feels natural to you.
A lot more so. I mean, it's better to wrestle without a mask. It's a lot more easier. A lot easier.
Yes, that too.
In terms of, you know, it doesn't get hot. You just got something on your face. So it's easier just to have nothing on your face. But the character works with the mask. And, I mean, as long as people like that character, and I'll keep doing it. So.
Okay. We are about due for a timeout. We're still taking your calls for the Hurricane 515-605-9345. And, of course, emails still open at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We'll be back with more after this timeout.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Edit interviews with the biggest names in the industry like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio and email us at ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
And we're back with more of the PW Torch Livecast here at pwtorchlivecast.com. This is the Thursday edition, Interview Thursday. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil sitting in for Wade Keller, who will be back live on Monday. The number here is 515-605-9345. We're talking with Hurricane Helms. He's currently an agent and manager for Impact Wrestling and has done pretty much everything else, including promoting, including being the Cruiserweight champion and a tag team champion and a big WWE star, and, yes, including a pinfall victory over Dwayne Johnson. 515-605-9345 is the way to reach us. Hurricane, I want to ask you a question about your agent duties, and it's germane to what's happening this weekend. Obviously, this weekend is the WWE Money in the Bank show. Now, you've worked a number of ladder matches, a number of multi-person ladder matches. I would think that having to work on a match like the Money in the Bank match is helpful when there's, say, four guys like AJ Styles, Dolph Ziggler, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens who have done this sort of thing before, and you know they can sort of help the new guys through it. But there is a women's Money in the Bank match where I'm pretty sure that nobody in this match has been in a Money in the Bank ladder match before. How would you? What do you think the challenges would be laying that out, and how would you do it?
It might not be as challenging as you might think. I mean, not with the girls that are involved, because these are girls that can actually go and do some things. They're not just Barbie dolls playing the role of wrestler. I mean, and I'm not saying they're not good looking. Obviously, they are, but they can go out there and rock and roll. You know, so. You know, it's kind of unfair to compare, and we do it all the time. We always compare the girls to the guys. You know, just kind of let them do what they do, and it'll either be good or it won't. I think it'll be fine. I think there's the talent's there. You know, psychology gets a little different in a ladder match. You know, in terms of we're not working a body part, we're not going for a pin. You know, it differs a little, obviously. So you know, they're going to throw some stunts in there. You know, nobody has to do, if everybody does a little, nobody has to do a lot.
Right.
You know, so it can be daunting as a performer to go into a ladder match because, you know, you get in your head, I got to do something big. And do I do just one big thing, or do I do a bunch of big things, or do I do a bunch of big things? You know, the Starrcade ladder match, the one that I was probably the best one that I did, I mean, I probably called 80-90% of that, and I called it for everybody. But I didn't tell them what to do. I was just like, all right, here's where we need a moment from you. And, you know, and we'll put and right here we need a moment from Kaz. And here we need a moment from Jamie Noble. Here we need a moment from Jimmy Yang. And I knew where I wanted my moments to be. That was easy for me. But just everybody, like I say, everybody does a little. Nobody has to do a lot. Go out there and most importantly, stay safe, ladies. Don't go out there and kill yourself, you know.
Please.
They're going to want to, though. It's the first time all-female Money in the Bank. They're going to want to go out there and go crazy. And I don't blame them for feeling that way because I've been there. So that's the thing. I want them to stay safe, but I think they're going to be okay. You know, a lot of talented girls out there.
Yeah, and I don't know if going crazy is the right term, but they're definitely going to want to show what they can do.
I think going crazy is going to be exactly what they're going to want to do.
Okay.
That's exactly what they're going to want to do. I mean, you see some of the stuff, you know, I mean, like you take Charlotte, for example, like she'll go and do that, like corkscrew moonsault to the floor with somebody that has no way to properly catch her. Somebody that
That's true.
There's no way has the physical strength to even protect her. And luckily she hasn't got hurt so far, you know, so, those girls are brave. There's a little bit of bravery and a little bit of craziness that goes into what we do, period. And that's just in a basic match, much less you put them into something like this, high stakes, high pressure. They're going to want to go crazy, I can promise you.
Okay, now coming up on July 2nd is the first full-scale TNA pay-per-view we've had in a while. And, you know, I think that the company on TV is doing better building to the big matches. My issue is I'm not sure that they've announced most of the Slammiversary lineup yet, but we all know that we're getting, barring a major incident, Bobby Lashley and Alberto El Patron in the main event. What do you think are the strengths that both these guys bring to the table?
Bobby's better than ever right now. I mean, Bobby is so good right now. He can go out there with anybody and put on a good match and make it believable. And that's really tough sometimes for bigger guys to go out there with smaller guys and make that smaller guy's offense look believable. That's really tough. You know, something bigger guys never get credit for. Somehow that credit always goes to the smaller guy. You know, you always say, yeah, he looked really credible. And, like, no, he looks credible because the bigger guy made it so. You know, and Bobby's really at the top of his game right now in terms of like that. Now, he won't have that problem with Alberto. Alberto physically matches up with him pretty well. So I think this is going to be really good. It's going to be hard-hitting. You know, I think they're going to want to do a lot. You know, they both got a bit of an MMA background. Obviously, Bobby's still involved in MMA. Alberto has a background in it. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I don't know from a creative standpoint. I don't know where they're going. And so I don't know and I'm not going to ask. If I don't have to hear it, I'm not going to ask. And then I never do. I like to watch the matches and see what's going to happen. But I think this is going to be really good. You know, I love the – obviously, I've been a high flyer, you know, in that cruiserweight style all my career. So I love that style. But at the same time, I still like to see two big guys that can actually go out there and go at it. So it'll be good. Alberto's great, too, you know. He's a firecracker, but he's really talented.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that anybody who has only watched WWE thinks of, you know, Bobby Lashley, this babyface from WrestleMania years ago, and Alberto Del Rio, this, you know, evil rich Mexican, you know, land baron or whatever. But yeah, it's actually working with the way this is set up.
Yeah. So, and Alberto's really over with our Impact crowd right now. I mean, and Bobby's so credible, so believable. And that's one thing that can easily be missed in wrestling sometimes, how credible some guys are and how believable. You know, I hearken back to my younger days when there were so many guys that just looked like they could kick your ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost everybody that came out of that curtain looked like, I mean, Arn Anderson looked like he was 45. He looked like 30, 45, and he was in his 20s. He just looked full grown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So many people back when I was young, looked believable, like they could really hurt you, and it's not a knock, it's just an observation. There's a lot of talent out there today that looks like they can't beat nobody's ass.
Right.
And those guys have to work a little harder to get over with the crowd. That's just, there's definitely ways to get over it. You just have to work a little harder, and eventually the crowd buys you or they don't. you know, when you see Conor McGregor in real life, you probably wouldn't think he'd kick your ass. And he's a little guy. But then you watch him fight, and you're like, okay, I get it. I get it, you know. But back to my point, sometimes I like to just see some big guys just that look like they could beat a bunch of people's ass, beat each other's ass.
I think maybe even more of a difference, and I could be wrong about this, is not only do you have guys, you know, not only did you have guys back then, a lot of them that looked like they could kick your ass, you had a lot of guys who looked like they wanted to kick your ass, which I think is another thing that maybe, you know, needs a little work with some of these people.
No doubt.
Okay. Also, yeah, the other match that I'm pretty sure is out there, and then there are other matches on the show, but it is the battle for the announce table with Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park Attorney taking on Josh Matthews and Scott Steiner. I'm expecting that's going to be a spectacle. It's one of those matches that, you know, people don't think of perhaps as an idea, but it all came together and it all made sense.
Yes, you know, I've always bragged about Impact's unpredictability. And
right.
Definitely no one a couple months ago could have predicted this match happening. So.
But I have it on good authority
that while in India, mm-hmm. this is on good authority, that while in India, Borash did some special hands-on training with the Great Khali.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah,
okay.
So I think you should expect some good things from Jeremy Borash. I'm interested to see what's going to happen. You know, I mean, a lot of people forget, you know, little Josh was on, you know, he could actually do some things in that ring. So,
yeah.
You know, especially they get swept up in the character of his announcing and they get lost in that. You kind of forget that he actually was an in-ring performer at one time, you know, Joseph Parks, if that is indeed his real name. I mean, we know what he's capable of. We know what Scott Stein is capable of. The X factor in this one, it will be Borash, but like I said, I think the time spent in the dungeons, the Pujami dungeons with the Great Khali, I think they might have done some things, and he might turn out to be the dark horse in this match.
Okay, I don't want to give away spoilers.
You don't sound convinced, Pat. You know, I'm just telling you. I'm telling you.
I believe you. You're the authority here. I'm just your humble dirt sheet guy here. So, you have the experience here. So I don't think we're getting any sort of a Punjabi prison match that was taped over in Mumbai, which would really
probably
have been,
not. But I'm just talking about where the training took place.
Right.
Mountains were climbed.
Okay.
And bamboo trees were chopped down by hand. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. So that's something we can look forward to. Hopefully somebody captured that on camera, and that's something we can look forward to seeing here in upcoming episodes of Impact.
Yeah, I don't know if Vanguard 1 was over there to capture it. I don't know if he could have made the trip. It takes a lot of fuel for a drone to fly that far, but you never know.
Yeah, plus I imagine there's still some argument about the ownership of Vanguard 1, which is better left dealt with by other people.
Could very well be.
Okay. We are due for a break. The number is 515-605-9345. When we come back, even more of your calls, emails, and hopefully chat room and Twitter questions for the Hurricane, Shane Helms. This is the PW Torch Livecast. Don't go away. Please come back.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
And we're back with more of the PW Torch Livecast. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil filling in for Wade Keller. The next time anybody will hear me on this show will be Sunday night immediately following WWE Money in the Bank. Myself, Johnny Fairplay, hopefully Greg Parks will be by to take your calls and dissect the big Money in the Bank ladder matches, plus the important rematch between Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. And, of course, after Impact tonight, our own Mike McMahon and Andrew Suchek will be by with the post-game show right here on PWTorchLivecast.com. So be sure to tune into that. They do a great job of covering Impact Wrestling every week here on PWTorch.com and on the PW Torch Livecast. And Hurricane Helms is here. Again, Hurricane Helms, you can see him actually this month on Fight TV as part of the TNA No Surrender pay-per-view available now. He will be leading Trevor Lee in the battle against Suicide. Plus, I'm told that Bobby Lashley takes on Eddie Edwards and James Storm against Eli Draker on the show. So be sure to check that out. And, of course, tonight it is Impact Wrestling from Mumbai with a six-way match, X-Division match, featuring Hurricane's man Trevor Lee, plus low-key defending the Impact X-Division title against Sanjay Dutt. And we welcome the Hurricane back to the show. I'm probably the only one who still has a problem with remembering to call it Impact. I figure you're used to it by now. Yeah. Sorry about that.
I still mess up and call it TNA too. So,
mm-hmm. Although I do like the opening of the show where the little sting at the top of the show is it's sort of a run through of all of the Impact slug lines and opens. It just kind of gives you the brief history of the company, which is now going on 15 years, hence the name Slammiversary 15.
Yeah, I told them, I suggested that, I know the problem with the TNA was the association with tits and ass, how sponsors, some sponsors that didn't know the product, and you can't expect every sponsor out there to know what TNA means. So I was like, well, just write it out. Stop putting TNA. If you put TNA, just put in little letters, Total Nonstop Action, right there, and problem will be solved. Like, I didn't see that big of a deal with it. It's still the same product,
And I think it's good that it's finally, they finally pulled the trigger, and we don't have to worry about any confusion in the marketplace anymore, which I think is great.
Yeah, but like I said, I think that they just wrote it out. Confusion's gone.
Yep,
like, exactly. I mean, it's only confusion if you don't know what it is. So, whether it's Impact or whether it's TNA, as long as it's good, I'm happy. So that's just my goal.
Okay. Now, the word on the street is that for the first time in a while, we are going to have Impact Wrestling live events coming up in the month of August. How exciting is that for you and for the company?
It's definitely exciting for the company and definitely exciting for the guys that are going to be on those shows. I know it's something they've been wanting to do forever. Something that, that's one of the great things about being a pro wrestler is traveling and taking a product to different places. And so many of our, the Impact guys are booked all over the place anyway. So it's definitely, people want to see these guys. They want to see them perform, so you might as well just take the roster there and do it ourselves. So, it'll be good. Definitely something that's been needed, long time coming. But, let's see how it all goes.
Okay, August the 5th in Staten Island, New York, at the Richmond County Bank Ballpark, a 6 p.m. start. And let's see, it does not your name is not mentioned there as being part of the card. But, all these stars of Impact, it says Bobby Lashley, Alberto Del Patron, EC3, the Cowboy, James Storm, Eli Drake, LAX, and much more. And I expect that you'll be around in some capacity.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, okay. That's great news. You also have, in October, the traditional Bound for Glory show, which, that could also be fun. Okay, so when you guys get together
that's a hell of a hype job you did there.
Well,
that could be fun.
I don't know anything that's coming up at Bound for Glory other than it's the biggest Impact Wrestling show of the year. That's
gotcha,
a fair statement.
Gotcha. Yes. Yeah, that could be fun. That's going to be my new line anytime.
Yeah, that could
yes,
be fun.
Yes, and Sunday night I'll be doing the live cast with Johnny Fairplay, and that could be fun, too.
Probably not.
No. Well, I'm sure he'll have a great time.
Yeah, very cool.
Okay. All right. Now that we've done that, is there anything that you guys have talked about, you and the other agents and the creative team, that you're looking, without giving away too much, that you're looking forward to in the next couple months?
Not me specifically. No, you know, because with the India loop, I didn't go, so I wasn't in on those agent. You know what we normally do, agent calls. I wasn't in on those, so. Wasn't a need to be, so it wasn't like a anything. So be honest, no, I don't have a good answer for that. You know, I think my contract's actually up in July, so whether okay. going forward with what I'll be doing there anyway. So I mean, we'll have to see.
Right, that's something that is to be determined, I guess, at this point. Okay,
yeah.
What other appearances do you have in other companies and including indie companies coming up?
I think the TNA thing aside, I think the next thing I'm doing is a couple comic conventions. I know I got some shows in Indiana, Wisconsin. I was about to say Wisconsin or Milwaukee, but seeing how they're both there, we'll leave that alone. I think I got a couple Carolina. I don't actually do a lot in North Carolina anymore. Very rarely. I think because I'm here all the time. You know, let's see what I got. I got to get my thing out. I got some more overseas stuff coming. The overseas stuff is just really crazy right now. You know, I got a chance to work with that WXW group in Germany, like last month or the month before. That went really great. Nova Scotia, I think I'm going back to Nova Scotia soon. That'll be pretty cool. I just stay busy. I'm really terrible about remembering where everything is. If I didn't write it down, I'd probably miss every date I have.
Okay.
But I put everything out. I put everything out on Twitter and everything in well in advance. So.
All right. Hold on, Hurricane. We have actually. I'm looking right now. We have breaking news. I don't have the normal sound, but this will have to do for now. Hold on. There we go. All right, breaking news from the Impact Wrestling Twitter. Some of you were probably wondering, with Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews actually wrestling at Slammiversary, who was going to announce the show. Well, it has just been revealed on ImpactWrestling.com that the announcers for Slammiversary are going to be former ESPN host Robert Flores and Don West. Yes, Don West. Returning to Impact Wrestling to call Slammiversary 2017. Did you have a? Yeah, Don West wasn't around when you started with Impact, was he?
No. I met Don a couple times in different scenarios, I guess. I like Don. So that should be interesting. He's an exciting guy. He's your hype man.
Yes, he is. He's much better at it than I would be.
He's the Flav of Impact Wrestling.
The man is amazing. He was a great at it before Impact came along. He was great at it when he was working for Impact, and I think this will be a lot of fun. Also announced for tonight, yes, the rivalry between the artist formerly known as Hornswoggle and Rockstar Spud will continue on Impact Wrestling. So I guess we will find out more about that. I forgot, August 4th, Impact Wrestling live event in Long Island, New York, which should be a lot of fun. Okay, Hurricane, we want to plug, we're about to wrap things up, but we do want to plug all the ways that people can get hold of you via social media, sir.
I was smart enough to keep it simple. I got the same name on everything, @ShaneHelms.com. @ShaneHelms with a C-O-N on the end, because my website is ShaneHelms.com. So you can catch me there. You know, I'm pretty active on social media. I like interacting with fans, and I've always been the class clown. The entertainer, so I put funny stuff out there. It isn't just a hype machine for my career. If people do that, it's totally fine, but mine's just a little bit more than that. I like to laugh. I'll engage. I'm not afraid to tell you my political views. I'm not afraid to lose my followers.
Not.
I don't look at it like a popularity contest, how many followers I got. If I lose people by being honest, that's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. I'd rather gain people with my honesty than lose them because of my honesty. So that, you know, I still do the Keeping It 100 podcast every week with Conan, Disco, That Man KG. And we have a lot of fun with that. That's a pretty diverse podcast, one of the most diverse ones out there in terms of subject matter. We get crazy. We all start yelling at each other every now and then, mainly at Disco. That's kind of what happens.
Right.
But, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Then you can relate. And of course, you know, Thursday night, 8 a.m. Pop TV Impact. Once the India tapings are over, you know, I should be back, you know, if we get the contracts and everything, whatever, updated. Or not. You never know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, just a lot going on with the hurricane. And listen, I want to thank you for being on the show on this special Thursday with me filling in. And I'm looking forward to having you back on next time I'm guest hosting for Wade.
That sounds good, man. I'll be the guest for the guest. We're double guests.
All right. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Say hi to everybody for me. Hurricane Helms, ladies and gentlemen. And that will about do it for the Interview Thursday episode of PW Torch Livecast. Again, tune in tonight. Mike McMahon, Andrew Socek have you covered. Your Impact post-game livecast. Talk about everything that happens on the special Mumbai edition. And, of course, Friday primetime, 7 p.m. Eastern, Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan. Sunday night following Money in the Bank, somewhere in that 10:45, 11 p.m. Eastern time slot, myself, Johnny Fairplay filling in for Greg Parks. Hopefully Greg Parks will be able to call in, and we'll talk about all of that wackiness. But right now I want to mention that we are you know, we do have a VIP site. You go to pwtorch.com/govip, discover how to become a Torch VIP member. If you do not have enough wrestling podcasts and wrestling articles in your life, it is a fantastic service, which I recommend wholeheartedly. And here to tell you more about it is our announcer guy. We will see you. The livecast will be back tonight.
As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. Yeah.